Well, good morning. Happy Sabbath to you. I invite you to bow your heads with me as we have a word of prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity again that we can look at the Word of God, that we can see your Word in action to transform and to renew lives. I pray that you would bless me with the words to speak today. To your honor, glory, we ask your praise. And also, too, that you would bless this congregation as we leave this place today. May we know that we have been in your presence. I ask this and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's title, His Mission, Our Purpose. God has a plan for His church, obviously. And He has got a mission for His church. But God's mission is our purpose. God has a plan, but we need to follow suit with His plan. I think the greatest challenge that we face today in a modern culture is that of willing to support God's mission and to support the purpose for which He has to save souls. We have a dying people all around us that need the salvation of Christ, that need to hear the message of Jesus, and we need people that are willing to enlist in the army of the Lord. With that today, I invite you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 17, our scripture reading for today. Exodus chapter 17, we're going to look at verses 8 through 13. We're just going to look at a couple of verses today. And then I wanted to illustrate some points of our responsibility and our duty to the call of the ministry and to the support of the ministry. In chapter 17 of Exodus, verse 8, the Bible says, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel and Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand.'" Now I want you to turn with me. I want you to get a sense of what Amalek was all about. You see, Amalek was fighting against the children of Israel. He was defying the very God of Israel. He felt that there is no God greater than his gods. There is no God greater than the gods that he served. And he was not going to find himself in any submission to the God of the universe. And how do we know this? Turn with me, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 25. And we're going to look at verse 17 and 18. Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 17 and 18. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 25 and 17 through 18. Here are the stories of how God has dealt with Israel and how He has delivered them each time. He writes this as a memorial, as a reminder. In verse 17, he says, "Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when ye were come forth out of Egypt." Don't forget what Amalek did, he said. And then he says in verse 18, "How he met thee by the way." In other words, this is the same story that we're reading about in Exodus chapter 17. It's the reminder of what Amalek did to the children of Israel. Verse 18 again of Deuteronomy chapter 25, he says, "How he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God." In other words, some other translation, but in other words, it might be said this, that Amalek came behind the children of Israel as they were wandering through the wilderness, as they were leaving Egypt, as they crossed the Red Sea. Amalek came in the rear of Israel and began to smote and to destroy those that were weak and feeble. In other words, he did not fear God, as we just read there. He was warring against the very God of the universe. He was fighting against God. And so we come back to Exodus chapter 17. And in Exodus chapter 17, we see where the children of Israel are now entering into the conflict with Amalek. And what I want to step back, I want you to take a three-dimensional view. I want you to look from the top down, if you will, a topographical view as you see this picture. As you're looking into this theater of this story, what we begin to see again is another message, another story about the great conflict between good and evil. You see, we're actively engaged, we're actively involved in the spiritual conflict between good and evil. The question that might be asked here today before we leave is, are you engaged in the conflict? Are you allowing God to use you as the instrument by which He is going to present to the world the truth of the gospel, the truth of the message, to help the world see Jesus? Are you allowing God to do that in your personal life? And if you are allowing God, are you supporting the ministry? Are you supporting the mission for which God has placed for His church? God has His church since day one. What do you say? Starting with Adam and Eve, the church in the Garden of Eden. Then we go down through the children of Israel until our time. We have spiritual Israel when God is going to finally restore all things. And then we're going to have His church, His bride that will be taken to heaven. God has always had a church walking on planet Earth that represents Him in all truth. God has a mission for His church. Are you willing to support that mission? Are you willing to make God's mission your purpose for living in this life? Early in my Christian experience, I realized very quickly that the purpose for which I am alive is to glorify Christ. The purpose for which I am here in today and even in existence is that I want to save souls for the kingdom of God. I want other people to see the love of Jesus. What do you say? And you see, that's our purpose. God has a mission to save souls. God has a mission to glorify His church. But is God's church our purpose for living? I think all of us, many of us, want a reason to live. If we don't have any reason to live, if we don't have any purpose in life, we have no reason to live, if you will. So we must have a purpose for why we are here. Is God's mission your purpose in your life? Well, coming back to the story here with Amalek, we see in verse 9, and Moses said unto Joshua of Exodus 17, verse 9, Moses said to Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and he fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. I like this. You know, God always wants to glorify His people. He always wants to establish His people as a representative for His character. So He brings Moses to the mountaintop, and He brings Hur, and He brings Aaron to the top. You see, He takes the leadership, and He puts them on the mountain. And God has established leadership for His church in these last days, as well as when the children of Israel were wandering around in the land of the desert and so forth. God established leadership. Leadership is important for the growth of the church, but leadership is also important for the establishment of God's character within a congregation or within His people. What would happen to the children of Israel if they had no shepherd, if you will, throughout the land of Egypt or throughout the wilderness experience, you see? They're always looking for someone to go to. They want to look to somebody. Well, God also established leadership, but He also gave the reason for the existence of God's people is that they, one, is to glorify God. Next is to fulfill His mission or to fulfill the purpose that He has for the children of Israel. For example, when the children of Israel came across the Red Sea, and after they came across the Red Sea, not too long afterwards, it was God's plan that He bring them right into the land of Canaan. You remember the story. So Moses and others sent out 12 spies to spy out the land. 10 of them came back with a false report. 2 of them were faithful and said, we can take. The other 10 said, no. You see, the leadership was to encourage the body to go forward, but then it was up to the congregation, if you will, it was up to the people to make a decision whether or not they wanted to go forward or not. Now, when they came back with the message, they decided to go with the false report of the 10 spies that said, oh, we can't take the land. And because of that, God said, fine, you're going to wander around for 40 years in the wilderness. You see, friends, God wants to take us into the next level. God wants to take us into the kingdom of heaven. He has a purpose for His church, you see. Responsibility goes both ways. It's not just the leadership that takes the people forward, but it's also the people that help drive and go forward to take the message to the world. His mission, our purpose. We are all saints of God, if you will. God has made us all priests, as 1 Peter tells us. We are all priests of God. We have a mission and a purpose to fulfill, again, God's mission. He goes on to say here, in verse 10 of 17, so Joshua did as Moses had said to him. And then Aaron and Hur went up to the mount, to the hill. Verse 11, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. Verse 12, but Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. In verse 13, and Joshua discomfited Amalek and its people with the edge of the sword. Verse 13. Well, we have a couple of things here that I want to illustrate, and then we'll come back to the point of the message here today. Number one is, if you'll notice in verse 11, when Moses held up his hands, Israel prevailed. You see, friends, God is inviting his people to be actively engaged in the conflict. You know, God could win all battles for us, can't he? I mean, he could have defeated Amalek there without a thought. He could have just spoke the word, Amalek would have been defeated. But he chose to use human agencies to practice faith so that the children of Israel would prevail. And so while Moses was up on the hill, it says here that he held up his hands, and when his hands fell, Amalek prevailed, and so forth. Well, this is where I find it gets pretty fascinating. Aaron and Hur, as the Bible says here, Aaron and Hur helped Moses raise his hands. In other words, Aaron and Hur were representatives of the body of Israel. Aaron was the priest. Hur was a symbol also of the people of Israel. They were a symbol of the body of Israel. In other words, Israel, symbolically here, was supporting the leadership of the church. And while they were supporting the leadership of the church went forward. Now, we all have a responsibility. Just as a male has a responsibility to take leadership in his home and to provide for his family, and just as the female has a responsibility to build the nest and to help take care of things, so God has established leadership. I've asked this one time, you know, I said, you know, God has established people in all realms. You know, what God has established female, God has established male. And I've had people say, well, the female can do this or the male can do that. Is that the case? Have you ever seen a man give birth to a child? Absolutely not. And so God has established a course by which a female should follow. He has established a course by which a male should follow. And in the same sense, God has established his church and his leadership, and the church has a responsibility, leadership has a responsibility, and we need to work together to keep that cycle going for what purpose? To win souls for the kingdom of Christ. And when we work in harmony with each other, we can go forward and we can beat in the conflict that we're faced with. We can move forward and beat the enemy. And while Moses was up there with the rod in his hand, which symbolized the power of God, the Bible says here that he got weary and his hands began to get heavy. So Aaron and Hur, they took a stone and they placed it under Moses. Moses sat on the stone. Friends, what does a stone symbolize throughout Scripture? It symbolizes Christ, doesn't it? The chief cornerstone. Christ is that stone. The stone that they have rejected and so forth. The stone is a symbol of Jesus. So the church must sit on the foundation of Christ. The very foundation of the church, the very foundation of this denomination should be centered in Christ. No human agency. Christ must be the center. Christ is what gives the support. Christ is what gives the authority. Christ is what gives the encouragement. Christ is what gives us rest to help us continue to go forward and to be engaged in the conflict. While Moses sat upon the stone, while he sat on Christ, if you will, he made Christ his center of everything. It was still the responsibility of the human agent to be faithful to the call of God. And so while he held his rod up in the air, he took that rod, which is a symbol of God's authority, his power, his divinity. We too have the Word of God, which is the authority of God, which tells us what what God's power is and what we should have, what we should be established upon and so forth. We must take the rod of God in our hands. We must take God's Word and set it up before the people. And when we set this up before the people, God's people will prevail. What do you say? And so while they were doing that, while Moses' hands were in the air, Israel prevailed against Amalek. But as soon as his arms fell, Amalek prevailed against Israel. You see, that's how it is, friends. When we get tired and when we get weak, when we let our guard down, if you will, we let the rod of God fall down, we let the word of God fall down, the enemy prevails. We need supporters in the church. What do you say? We need supporters in the leadership of the church. We need supporters of the leadership. And while Aaron and Hur, when Moses got tired, Aaron and Hur stood by his side and held his arms up until the going down of the sun. And while they did that, as the sun was steadily going down, Israel prevailed over Amalek, and Amalek was finally defeated. Praise God. What do you say? Now, if you'll notice verse 16 of 17. Chapter 17, verse 16. The Bible says, "For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." You see, it was the faithfulness of the children of Israel. It was the faithfulness of Aaron and Hur. It was the faithfulness of Moses that prevailed against Amalek. And God was going to use Israel to fight against their greatest enemies that defied the very nature or the very purpose of God. And so we have a purpose here today. God wants to use us as instruments. He wants to use us as tools and agencies by which we are going to fight against the Amaleks in this world. That doesn't mean, however, you need to go out and start standing on the street corners and beating people up and tell them they shouldn't worship this way or they shouldn't do these things. But it's given us cause and purpose that we need to jointly unite our efforts as a congregation, as a people, and to support the mission of God's church to fulfill in our lives His purpose so that we can defeat the Amaleks in this world and finally so we can go home. God is calling responsibility upon His church, upon His people, to fulfill His mission. Friends, will you be one of those people today? Will you be the supporters of God's church? Will you be the supporters of His mission? Will you be the supporters to fulfill His obligations for His church, to help support and lift in prayer leadership, to lift in prayer God's mission and purpose for His church? Will you do those things so that we can finally go home? I'm afraid too often that many times we get discouraged in the battle. We get discouraged and we say, oh, this is impossible. We can't do this. We can't accomplish it. We've tried this. We've tried that. But friends, it does get tiresome, doesn't it? It gets laborsome at times. And we may get wearied out. You know, we have preached over and over again the second coming of Christ. Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. We may get tired out by that. But friends, encourage each other. Gather yourselves together. Unite yourselves together and encourage each other. Lift each other's arms up to be encouraged and say, be faithful, brother. Be faithful, sister. Come into harmony, into unity with each other, and let the power of God prevail in your life and in the world around us. And when we unite in a united front and an effort, we will win. We will defeat the enemies around us. We will see God's word prevail. Jesus may be calling you, and I'm sure He's calling me too, to be maybe a little charismatic, if you will. Forgive me for the use of that word, but maybe to be charismatic for His word and for His cause, to be excited, to be joyful, to be overwhelmed with the sense of His power and authority in your life so that you can present to the world Jesus and Jesus only. You see, friends, Jesus is calling people into relationship with Him. He's not only asking people to unite with Him in a relationship because He loves them, but He's also asking people to come into a relationship with Him and to unite with Him in the front of His truth and to experience His truth. You see, friends, we can't invite people just to meet Jesus without also asking people to experience His truth. Those two go hand in hand. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth." Yes, Jesus is the way, but you can't just have Jesus. You've got to have His truth also. And so Jesus may be asking you today to join in His efforts to make His mission your purpose to go forward and to share the gospel to the world. And Jesus is asking you and I today to support His mission. And I know that I have been challenged too. I get sometimes discouraged with the way things are going, or maybe the way leadership is going, or the way church activities are going. But you know what? We don't need to argue about them. We don't need to complain about those things. We don't need to get frustrated. Why? Because God has His hand in His church. God has a mission for His church. And I invite you today, friends, to unite your hands in the hands of Christ and to unite your efforts with each other and to be compassionate towards one another and to pray and encourage one another. As Jesus leads you into this type of ministry, may we prevail against the Amaleks of this world. I invite you, if you will, to bow your head with me as we have a closing prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for calling us here today. Thank you for revealing to us your mission to save a lost world. Help us to be supportive of your mission. May your mission be our purpose. May your mission be our purpose for living and breathing today. We know, dear Jesus, that you have called us and that you have purposed this church to defeat the Amaleks in this world. And so you said, Lord, that from generation to generation you will defeat the Amaleks. And so today I ask that upon our church as well, that you would help us as a congregation, as a people, to defeat the Amaleks in this world. We are, Lord, in a spiritual conflict. Help us, Lord, to rest in you. Help us to find our confidence in you. And as Moses, Lord, sat upon that stone, which is a symbol upon you, help us today, Lord, to erect an altar in our homes and our churches, to make you, Jesus, the center of all of our attention, to make our lives and our homes and our church, everything that we do, may it be foundational upon Jesus. And so today, Lord, what you have done for us, we thank you. Thank you for giving us eternal life. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins. May today we go in peace with confidence and assurance that you are our God. In Jesus' name, amen.